Thank you and a very pleasant good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Gary Colley, evangelist of the Get Well Church of Christ here in Memphis, Tennessee. And it's a pleasure and a privilege each Lord's Day morning for me to be able to study with you from the Word of God. We, of course, find that very important because only by reading and studying His Word can we possibly know what pleases Him. 2 Timothy 2:15 still reads, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We are to handle correctly the word of truth. Therefore, by that we can please God. But without that, we can't please Him. It's so important for us to hear the word of God, and we're going to emphasize that today as we study together. This, of course, is the Truth in Love broadcast, brought to you each Lord's Day morning at this same time by your friends and neighbors at the Get Well Church of Christ. We're interested in your soul. We're interested in you hearing the word of God so that you will know how to conduct your life and live before Him uprightly. In Psalms 119, verse 105, He said, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my pathway." In verse 130 of that same chapter, He said, "The opening of Thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." And then in verse 9 of that chapter, verse 9 and 10, He said, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" Then He says, "By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee, O let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I laid up in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." It is the only way, my friends, to avoid sin, to live the kind of life we ought to live here, so that we may live with the God of our creation in eternity. What a wonderful promise it is when our Lord says, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place, I shall return again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also, and whither I go, ye may know the way." In John 6, verse 44-45, Jesus Himself said, "No man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Everyone that hath heard and learned cometh unto me." What a wonderful privilege it is to come unto the Lord. But we have to hear the word, and we have to learn it. You know, it is impossible for you to live as you should unless you have a knowledge of the word of God. So as we study today, I'm hopeful that we may emphasize those things which will appeal to you in hearing the word of God. You know, a great deal of emphasis is placed upon hearing in the Bible, isn't it? And certainly we need to consider these aspects of the subject, because they make the difference in heaven and hell for us. Jesus said in Mark 4:24, "Take heed what you hear." What an important exhortation. Take heed what you hear. It is impossible, my friends, for us to hear the wrong thing and do the right thing. We have to hear the right thing in order to do the right thing. So Jesus said, pay close attention to what you hear. So many people are not listening to the Bible. They're listening to their pastor, or their priest, or their preacher, and they are not listening to the Word of God, because these are not completely honest with the truth. I know that's a serious charge. I do not make it lightly, but I believe, my friends, that we need to turn to the Word of God and search out those truths that are there in order to know what's right and what's wrong. In Acts 17:11, Paul said these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the Word with all readiness of mind, and search the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Friend, when you hear a preacher or a priest or a pastor, maybe as he calls himself, although only elders are called pastors in the Bible, but when you hear these, do you check to see if they're telling you the truth? You can compare them with the Word of God, and that's a command. 1 John 4, verse 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they be of God, for many false prophets are gone out in the world." Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and he said, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." So when Jesus said, "Take heed what you hear," remember, my friends, that only the truth, and by the truth I mean the Word of God, can make us free. Jesus said unto those Jews that believed upon Him in John 8:31-32, if they believed on Him, they must continue in His Word. For He said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There's so many in the world not teaching the will of God. The false prophets are abundant, and they are in every nation. In many nations, there are more preachers than there are people. But they still have an ungodly way of living. They have not learned what they ought to do, and they're not doing it. But also, sadly, they're false teachers sometimes within the church of our Lord. In 2 Peter 1, verse 1, Simon Peter, he says, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained a like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to his divine power, he hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In Acts 20, we find Paul speaking to the elders at Ephesus. Beginning in verse 28, he said, take heed unto yourselves and unto the flock, over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. For after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. How sad that is that it came true. And we see the apostolic church called the Catholic Church. They left the teachings of the Word of God. They appointed men to be over other men. And finally, with all of this structure that they made, they completely departed from the truth. They wanted men to follow them instead of following the Lord. You know, if we hear error and believe error, we will obey and practice error. That seems to be sensible, doesn't it? And deception is still a worldwide issue. Satan is still said to deceive the whole world. Revelation 12:9, he said, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Beware, lest we believe then and fall for a strong delusion that may seem right when it's not right. Jeremiah said, you know, in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 through verse 14, Paul wrote, for the mystery doth already work. He's talking about the mystery of ungodliness, the mystery of leaving the truth. He said it already works. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. They that are all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth, whereunto he calls you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we learn some very important things. Those who appeal with error oftentimes pretend power and signs and lying wonders, he says here. In other words, they pretend things that are not so. And so because of that, they fool many people. They turn them from righteousness of the truth to unrighteousness of error. And because of that, that belief of that strong delusion, they will be condemned who have not accepted the truth and loved the truth. So he says, but the brethren at Thessalonica had not done that. They said, we give thanks for you, brethren, because God hath from beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now some pick up that passage and say, see, men are either saved or lost from the beginning of time. God chose some to be the elect and some to be the non-elect. But that's not true, my friends. That's not what the Bible teaches here. He hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through two means. One is the sanctification of the Spirit. That's God's part. In other words, By the truth we are set apart, are sanctified. In John 17:17, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the first thing in our salvation that God has commended is that we should hear the Spirit's teaching and be set apart by it. Second of all, our part to believe the truth. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. That's the only power God has to save man, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to take heed what we hear, don't we? Are you listening? I'm hopeful that you are. Not to me, not to any other preacher, but to the truth. But there's another exhortation, Luke 8:18, where Jesus said, take heed therefore how you hear. It's not only important what we hear, but how we hear. What is our attitude and disposition toward the truth? Many people meet it with great discouragement. Do we love the truth? 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12 that we just read. Indeed, we must come to a love of the truth or we're going to be fooled. And any kind of way of religion doesn't mean that it's the Lord's religion. We must receive his word and take heed, therefore, how we hear. Not only what you hear, but how you hear. Do we gladly receive the word? That's what they did on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:41, after Peter had said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this crooked and untoward generation. Watch it now. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the Lord added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. They were taking heed how they heard, weren't they? Not only what they heard, but how they heard. Do we today gladly receive the word? We should. Do we listen with a readiness of mind, as those people in Acts 17:10-11? Search the scriptures daily whether these things were true. Receive the word with all readiness of mind. That's how we hear right, isn't it? Do we try to rightly divide, as the Bible commands, the word of God as we hear it? It means to handle it correctly, to not go beyond that which is written. 2 Timothy 2:15 again says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Remember, we're hearing the word of God, not the word of men. In 1 Thessalonians 2:13, he said, for this cause also thank we God, without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, the apostles, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now, it works if you believe it, and that's how you're to hear it correctly. So not only take heed what you hear and how you hear, but there's another thought. Take heed when you hear. You know, there's not one commandment in the Bible that we're to obey tomorrow. Every one of them is today. The present time is God's time, isn't it? The present is the time to do God's will. To put off to tomorrow what we ought to do today may be disastrous. We may not live tomorrow. James said in James 4, go to now, you that say today or tomorrow, we will enter into such a city and we'll spend a year there. We'll buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a short time, and then it vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. So there's not a commandment in the Bible about tomorrow, but there is about the present time to do God's will. Jesus said, go work today in my vineyard. In Matthew 21:28-31, he said, but what think ye? Certain man had two sons. He came to the first and he said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and he went. And he came to the second and he said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots shall go into the kingdom before you. Well, now what was the difference here? It was that of how they heard, when they heard. And, of course, one of these young men said he would go, but then he repented. He changed his will. He didn't go. The other said, I will not go. But then he realized the importance of going, and he changed his will and went. You know that's repentance. Repentance is a change of will, preceded by godly sorrow and resulting in a reformation of a man's life. Paul also said in 2 Corinthians 6:2, "Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So when we as workers together," he said, "with him, beseech you also to receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Do you realize that? Do you realize that tomorrow may never come? That you are to take care of doing those things which you know are right today? You know, it's an opportunity for you today to meet with us at the Get Well Church of Christ. Our Bible study begins at 9:30 this morning, and then our worship service at 10:20 and 5 o'clock this afternoon. Each Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, we meet together for the study of God's Word. You could come and be with us. You could learn the will of God, the way of life, and so live here that the day of salvation will mean eternity for you. You know, we're not promised tomorrow, are we? Not at all. Death may overtake us, or Jesus could return to execute judgment. It is said in Hebrews 9:27, "It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment." In Acts 17:30-31, he said, "Now the times of ignorance God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to come to repentance, seeing that he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he's given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead." Are we ready? My friends, this is the most important issue we all face every day. Are we ready? In Hebrews 3, verse 12 through 15, there the writer of Hebrews said, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation." Take heed, brethren, means pay close attention, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart of unbelief, lest you love the world more than you love the Lord, lest you're willing to put him second in your life. Matthew 6:33 still reads, "But seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all of these other things shall be added unto you." How can we possibly turn away from the truth? Well, our hearts can be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We may say, "Well, we have to take all of it now while we can. You know, tomorrow might not come, so we want to be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." It can deceive you. It can cause you to turn from that which assures you of eternal life with God eternally. We're made partakers of Christ, though, when and if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence, steadfast unto the end. And that's not tomorrow. That's not yesterday. That's today. "If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." And then next of all, what to do with what you hear. You know, it's not only important what we hear, or how we hear, or when we hear, but what do we do with what we hear? Be careful about you, what you see and hear. You know, there are books, certain books that I won't have in my library because I don't want to trouble my mind with those things that I know are wrong. I need to be careful of what I hear and how I hear it, and indeed when I hear it. Be careful about what you see and hear, my friends. These things can have a powerful effect on you. That's the reason 1 Corinthians 15:33 warns, "Be not deceived. Evil companionship corrupts good morals." Yes, it can. And if you're not watchful, if you're not on the watch of these things, you may be deceived. You may think evil companionships will be all right for you, but they're not. You know, it's good to relax, but don't let your moral and spiritual guard down while you relax. Relaxing can be good, but it can be bad. If you drop your guard, if you fail to prove all things and hold fast that which is good, you will not abstain from every appearance of evil, as Paul taught in 1 Thessalonians 5:21. In Colossians 3:16-17, he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it live in you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. One of the guards against doing evil is to come to worship. And that's what we're urging you to do at the Get Well Church of Christ today. You need to be transformed. And how are you transformed from wrong to right, from evil to good? Well, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, listen to it closely. I beseech, I plead with you, brethren, by the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you be offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual service. And be not transformed by the be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and the perfect and acceptable will of God. We're not to be deceived then by the things of the world. We are to do those things which the Lord has commanded. Remember, Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27, Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and they beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall thereof. Have you ever been reading over something that you've read hundreds or even thousands of times and have something strike you about whatever it is that you're reading that has never struck you before? I'm sure you have. And the Bible is much that way. The more you read it, the more you learn. And, of course, that happened to the other day to me. Actually, I was reading another book. It happened to mention the wise man and the foolish man that caused us to go back and to read again this passage. It was then that we really began to think about these two men that Jesus described and how similarly they wrote and it actually were. You know, they probably had the same floor plan. They had the same materials maybe. And the same storms came against those houses. In the description given by the two men, it is simply said that they each built a house, isn't it? Now, it would only be logical to conclude that the structures had to have been at the very least similar in nature. Doesn't seem to be any oddity to one over the other. That is, they would have been the same size, maybe, built in much the same way. And one could probably go so far as to say that the houses themselves were identical, if Jesus is going to make such a comparison between the two. Hence, it would be fair to say, I suppose, that each house was built according to the same plan. You know, we have all at least driven through communities where the paint of the color or the brick may have been different, but the houses look the same. Many times these are called cookie cutter houses. And the idea here is the same. These houses were built in the same area with the same plans, same materials, and faced the same storms. Now, most of the time, it would stand to reason that houses built according to the same plans and with the same materials would be also of equal quality, wouldn't they? However, as you've noticed by reading this passage today, one house was able to withstand the storm that came while the other failed miserably and fell. Well, how could this be? There was one glaring difference between the two houses, the foundation chosen upon which to build. You know, the building is inconsequential sometimes because both men had the same plans, the same materials at their disposal. The foundation was the key, wasn't it? And when the storm came and its rains and floods and winds, that house built upon the rock was able to stand. Why? Because of the foundation that was immovable. You know, the word rock is the Greek word Petra, which is the same word used in Matthew 16:18. As Jesus describes the building of his church. He said upon that confession that Peter had made, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon this rock I will build my church. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So the idea is of a great mass of rock, isn't it? On the other hand, the house built on the sand fell quickly as the rains fell and the winds beat upon that house. While the other foundation of rock was the reason for one house standing, the foundation of sand was the reason the other fell. Sand is always shifting, you know. It's moved about by wind and water. Nothing that is built with a foundation of sand is going to last for long. Well, preacher, all of that is obvious, someone says. What does that have to do with anything? Well, friend, think about it for a moment. Think about what Jesus has said in his conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. These two men had access to the same plans, same materials, and yet two very different results came when the storm came, right? Surely. Every man today has his access to the Word of God. We have studied of how we are to hear, what we're to hear, and when we're to hear it, and we should be striving to see that on a daily basis. As you have the ability to become a New Testament Christian, everybody has that ability. It is determined, of course, in the Word of God. So why is it that there are so many denominations? They have all had access to the same plans, haven't they? The same materials, the Word of God. And while the houses, as they may be called, may look a lot alike, they're very different in foundation. And this is exactly the situation that Jesus describes for us. Notice that those that hear the words of Christ, did you see that emphasis? And do them, are like another wise man building his house upon that great mass of rock. But those who hear the word of Christ and do them not are like unto foolish men, built their house on the sand. Same plans, the word of Jesus. Same materials, the word of Jesus. But very different results. So if denominations use the word of Jesus to build their denominations, why is the result so different? Well, it's not that they don't look some alike, but it's because the foundation is different, my friend. While denominations do use some words of Christ to build their house, their foundation is not upon Christ, as they may think it is. Rather, their foundation is upon man-made creeds instead of God's Word. Quite simply then, my friends, it is not the church built by Jesus. It is not the church. In previous verses, Jesus had indicated that if we don't hear the will of the Father and do it, we shall not be well in the judgment day. Where has your house been built, my friend? Is your foundation on Christ, on that alone, upon his words, and not upon the words of men? We're hopeful that it is. And if we may assist you today in bringing your life more into harmony with the will of God, we would stand ready to do so. Such an important lesson that we hear. Are you going to hear it and do it? We trust you will. Been good to be with you this morning. We appreciate your listening. Invite a friend to listen to the programs also, and we will be on each Sunday morning at this same time, same station. But until we meet you in our services today, or by means of this broadcast next Lord's Day, we now bid you a pleasant good morning.